The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm super tired tonight. I've been missing some sleep for no reason. I just woke up during the night, so I didn't have much sleep last night. Aquanote says, Vivek was right about white culture. Me and Frame Games basically said this 7+ years ago. A culture that cares more about football than math will never be competitive enough to survive. He basically summarized the rants I would give in the private hangouts. I don't fully agree with this. I reject this. I don't believe that America needs a fix to be more technically minded or technologically minded. I don't believe we need this at all. Of course, in a population like America, you're always going to get some geeks, and you're going to produce creative geeks from just the process of the surplus of whatever else people do, whether they're farming or whether they're having a job in the post-industrial world. I don't know that we have to be technical. I don't know that we have to force it upon people. I think that you have to leave it as a natural process, and then you're going to evolve naturally a surplus of somewhat intelligent people and creative people. I don't think we gain as a race to be enslaving ourselves to the demands of the technical world and the technological world. So I reject your statement and the statement of Vivek too. I believe that whatever white people do, if they enjoy football and they have a culture of college football and cheerleaders and it's part of their dating courtship system, then we shouldn't be surprised just how beautiful the white woman is. I mean, have you ever looked at an Indian model? The Indian model is not any more beautiful than a random 5 out of 10 white woman cashier in some grocery store. I mean, it is quite something. So we have a society that optimizes for other things, perhaps, than just per enslavement to technical work. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a kind of genetic insurance that we have to be a good race in the future, perhaps a race of warriors, a race of survivors, or a race at times of technological innovators. I don't think that white people have to be ashamed of anything in terms of their ability to produce technology and culture. We totally dominated this world. What is it that these tech oligarchs want to get in their Indian H-1Bs and Indian imports? They want an enslaved mind capable of technical production. It may not be something that white people can deliver as readily and as cheaply, but I don't think it's something we should abandon. I think if white society has developed that way, let us respect it rather than disrupt white society by importing infinite competition. Ty Rogerson says, bottom line, there are plenty of peoples in the world now who would be outcompeted by immigrants, but they have stronger borders and enjoy a better life, even though there are no Olympic sprinters. Exactly. You know, you have countries that are 100 times poorer than America. And in a way, it's their great blessing to be that way because they're not desirable as a immigration destination. And therefore, they have a protective strategy, which is to not attract immigration or to have borders to keep it from happening illegally. And you cannot have a project of society or a project of the continuation of a race without having as a first value the sustainment of your existence. As long as white people don't adhere to this mantra, and it doesn't matter if we're 400 million white people, or if we're 1 million white people, or if we're 2,000 white people, no matter the point of reduction that we're going to reach relatively to the rest of the planet, there has to be that point at which the people left are the nucleus of strong-willed people who value the maintenance of the white race. And that nucleus must make its existence and will make its existence. It's a mathematical inevitability that if you filter out all the people who fall to race mixing, to the anti-natalist discourse of leftism, to the reduction of birth rate of the post-industrial world, filter them out. And at the end, what you have is a bunch of people who truly believe in the maintenance of the white race. That is inevitable. So it doesn't matter when we reach that point. I know we will be reaching it. And yes, Elon Musk called white people subtards, almost. He didn't say white people in that instance, but there are other instances where, to me, it is clear that he's talking about white people. And holy shit, do we have a big disappointment in Elon Musk today. Not only is he wrong, and not only is he dangerous for the maintenance of American demographics, and for the continuation of white people in America, but he is also pissed. He is pissed that he lost it, and he is losing it mentally because he went for the banning of massive accounts that are supporters of Nick Fuentes, many groypers. There was the classic groyper account that just recently showed up and bought a golden checkmark. Now, these golden checkmark, they cost a lot. I think they cost something like $10,000 a month. This is big companies that buy these golden check marks. Someone apparently in the entourage of Nick Fuentes, or perhaps a fan of his, decided to start this account, Classics Gripe. And many of these associated accounts and this golden check mark account have been banned from X. What is the difference here between the censorship of the times of Jack Dorsey and this? We are back to square zero. John Drake says Twitter will fall to Noster one day. Yeah, well, Noster has some breadcrumbs to eat before we get there. We have here a chase: police in motorcycle versus criminal in scooter. Look at how chill this guy is. He's even adopting a wind-optimized position for aerodynamism. Police are pretty kind to him because they could totally wreck him, but he's going so fast that it would be kind of dangerous. So he's gonna try slowing him down, and oh, now he's losing stability. Sumerian says this Elon issue is simply slavery. Wedge slavery is cheaper than actual physical slavery. Yeah, I mean, this whole debate reminds me of all these nations at times that have had their higher classes need cheap labor in the form of slaves, and the bringing of these slaves has brought so much shit down the generations that you would question, like, if you were in 1800s, if you were in the 1700s in North America and you see a slave owner, ask yourself the question, given the number of murders that will be committed and the number of crimes that will be committed by the descendants of these slaves, how much should the slave owner pay in advance to, say, some state? How much would they have to pay to the government to be cost neutral? Just consider, I mean, the costs are almost infinite, because once you have a slave in your nation that gives birth to however many babies, these babies give birth to however many babies, eventually all of the murders of all of these babies have to be included in your computation. It's unviable. We can't have societies that impose costs where the tech oligarchs or any oligarch impose costs to the rest of society and don't cover for it. John Drake says, you wouldn't think Musk is producing the machines that will replace workers with his love for worker visas. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole excitement. These minds like Elon Musk, the average tech oligarchs, they are dreaming of a world in which, and if you check what Jeff Bezos has done, in a way, he has roboticized the industry of distribution, the industry of offering everything to everyone at all times. That is the great Amazon advance. So all of these guys, they think in terms of a post-human world, in a way, but they are so pressed by time to get there that they're like, oh, well, just before that post-human world, maybe there's some arbitrage to be done here. Maybe I can import some more Indians to do some more of this or that. Let's talk about movies, because I had promised I would quickly review the movie Ghost World. My girlfriend made me discover this movie, Ghost World 2001. It's a very interesting movie. It's about this girl, this Jewish young girl that goes out of high school and that is thrown into the world. Very interesting, because it's very racially conscious and red-pilled. Because she goes into the world and there's nothing for her. There's no job. She doesn't seem to be financially stable enough to be in an apartment. She has to team up with her friend to be in a kind of quasi-lesbian relationship, but there's no lesbian sex. There are lots of funny things where she gets engaged in provocative art. And her provocative art is an old black man representation, you know, from times of racism. And she creates a scandal, and eventually black parents are pissed at her provocative art, and she loses her standing and her grants. So she loses everything. And the movie runs around her love story with a very old man, where she tries at first to get a girlfriend for this man, this very old man, who is played by Steve Buscemi, and it is a great performance by Steve Buscemi. So just for the value of the performance of Steve, it is absolutely worth it. So she gets him an old girlfriend, but of course he can't help but be tempted by the younger, broken, mind-fucked Jewish woman. But he has sex with her, therefore loses his girlfriend. But by trying to go for the higher value, he loses everything, because, of course, once he's a divorced guy, separated from his girlfriend, he has no more value for the young Jewish woman. He is no more a seat of her interest, so she drops him too. It's a tragedy movie. It's a tragedy performance where everything goes wrong for this woman, and in a way, it's red pilling on any sort of idealism you could have as you grow into adulthood and the pursuit of pleasure and jazz enjoyment and music. This whole boomer pursuit and sex leads you to nothing. That is what I retain from Ghost World. And for a 2001 movie just out there that I didn't know about at all, I find this a pretty high quality, very funny, very weirdly filmed, kind of. There's an indie feeling to the movie, and a very good performance from actors. I will also review Phantom Thread. Ty Rogerson says, good film, Rec, JF, thanks. She just wants the older record store geek. Yeah, I mean, she goes for him because he's a geek, but then at the end, when he's not an object of her interest, when he has no woman in his life. So what she was really interested in was to break his life in a way, to break a relationship. And it kind of, it's a perfect representation of lost young woman who you'll never get anything from them because you try to get them on the track of reproduction and marriage, but they are elsewhere. They are just in the messing up the world phase of their life. They haven't moved on to say, oh yeah, you're not going to break the system. You're not going to revolt against heterosexuality. Heterosexuality will always win. So either you join the team or you get the fuck out. They haven't moved on to this point. They're still in the, oh well, maybe I can throw a wrench in the machine. Maybe I can break some hearts. Jackie Chan sends a super chat. He says, one time it worked out well was when the U.S. imported Chinese laborer in the West to build the railroads in 1860s, somewhat analogous to our current scenario. In that case, it worked out, and the Chinese weren't a huge burden to California. Yeah, but I absolutely hesitate at taking things that didn't change American demographics fundamentally are not comparable to what we can do today. The problem of today is the speed at which we're capable of doing it is absolutely post-evolutionary interest for white people. It's like we can flood America with enough people, given the numbers that we're playing with, given the transportation means that are more available, given that it's easier to marry than it was back then. You can fuck up the whole of society with the exact same thing that you did in 1860s. But in 1860s, there were enough barriers that inviting a couple of Chinese to work on railroads was not causing a societal shift. We have a super chat from Entropy. Russell Bailey has sent $25. Thank you so much. He says, hello, Jeff. Have you given any thought to the prayer that you said before you ended up with the ring from Abdul? You cashed out at 600 and didn't get shot. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid through briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Well, I included a reference to thinking about Jesus in that story as I was telling it because I think it was adding an entertaining aspect. But no, I didn't start being saved or start believing in God just because Abdul didn't kill me. I wasn't using this as a literal scientific experiment to determine if a God exists. But yeah, I thought it was a beautiful addition to the story to illustrate just how much I was close to death. Potentially. Phantom Thread, that is another movie I want to review. 2017, I'm very impressed by this movie. It's not for everyone. It's a subtle movie, and you have to really like cinematography. You have to really pay attention, because if you're watching this movie with half attention, you're not going to pick up on what's the genius of this movie. First, Daniel Day-Lewis is a hero of mine. I think his performance in There Will Be Blood is absolutely stunning to me. I love it. And to see him in an effeminate English role, it's so contrary to the There Will Be Blood performance that I was very interested in this movie, because I was like, how is he going to pull this? In my feeling of who Daniel Day-Lewis is, he is a traditional American with the super respectful Christian American accent from There Will Be Blood. And I was like, how is this going to work? Even watching the trailer, I couldn't believe that he was in the role of a dressmaker, an effeminate, sensitive, Jordan Peterson voice type of dressmaker. In fact, he looks very much like Jordan Peterson in this movie. So Phantom Thread is just the story of the love between a young woman who shows up in his life, and he's a very old, well, very, not super, super old, but much older than her, man who is sewing dresses, and he's a very popular London dressmaker. You watch this movie for appreciating the subtle cinematographic performance, actress performance, actor performance. If you're really just into that kind of technical stuff, it is a very interesting movie. Now, it's very boring. The script deployment is super slow, and there's not much happening. But if you like just the theme of sewing to be given life through cinematographic strategies and writing, that is a complex, out there, niche movie that you should watch. Daniel Day-Lewis is very impressive. He plays ultimately a very autistic, it's like a very successful artist. And in a way, I kind of identified with the character because I have success and I have autism, and I can understand how, you know, when you're eating your breakfast and someone else is with you, your wife or your kids, and they're making noise and you're like, I just want to take. I can totally understand. So I was wondering where they would go. And it's fascinating that they don't present him as an evil man. And, you know, he's really just an autistic man who's hypersensitive. So it's like, yeah, you could say it's kind of impolite and weird to be asking for silence and to be saying you're chewing your toast too strongly. But this is where the cinematography comes in. And it's like the audio track on this movie is like, wow. First, there's very good classical music. I didn't check who it was, but it's very complex and good classical music that takes you through this movie. And the toast that, you know, the woman, when she butters her toast, is like, and you're kind of as annoyed as the artist of the movie. So they captured this whole very sensitive guy needing his space of creation in a way that I've never seen in any other movie, because you're starting to have empathy for the guy, and you're like, holy shit, she's buttering that toast. She's fucking annoying. And in the end, the big evil woman is the big evil character in this movie is the woman. The French woman who charms him, because she starts poisoning him with mushrooms. And there's kind of a weird ending where he accepts being poisoned. Like, the first time he doesn't know, but the second time he's like eating the poison in her face. And she's like, I've put just enough mushroom to hit you hard, but not to kill you. And he's kind of, eventually the mushroom poisoning becomes her way to get him in vacation. And you're supposed to celebrate this as a stunning illustration of love at the end. It's like, oh, at the end they're hugging and he knows he's being poisoned by her, but at the same time it's the way she has found to get his attention. I don't know what this movie is telling me. Is this movie telling me that this woman is okay? Because I'm not okay with being poisoned. But if you take the angle with this movie, you say, okay, this is a movie about an evil, fucked up woman who's just abusive, but she's abusing a man who is at the end of his life and she's producing actual babies for him. And so he decides to be, he decides to subscribe to the abuse. So if you take that movie that way, it's kind of a very deep examination of the autistic man who says, okay, my body will get raped by the universe, but so be it. I'll just make sure that I leave some dresses, some inheritance to the world, and some inheritance in the form of babies. White nationalist says, JF, if you could drop your IQ 20 points, you would be me. I'm looking for a replacement. Feel like dying for our Volk? No, I'll keep my IQ. Although I am not for societally imposing IQ onto others. And I'm not for aiming for the increase of IQ for our society. I enjoy intellectualism. I enjoy being intelligent. I couldn't imagine my life without it. Sumerian sends 10 bucks. He says, thanks. Well, thanks to you for reminding me to talk about this. Yeah, two good movies that it's amazing because with my girlfriend, she likes bizarre movies. She is into these normie movies sometimes, and I'm like, this sucks. But she has a completely different knowledge, a different repertoire, and sometimes she finds these very, very good movies that I didn't know existed at all because I'm just too much of a sci-fi and technological movie type of guy, or at best action movies, but certainly not romantic comedies, or certainly not bizarre movies like Ghost World. So I never heard of these movies, and it's good in my age at 40 years old to be still discovering new stuff that's acceptable. I thought I had gone through the whole filmography of humanity. Orkin Man says, Jeff, are you going to review the new Nosferatu movie? I have no idea what this is. Nosferatu, I'm going to have to check it out. I have no idea what this is. Dean Wetters, the guy who did these cuck debates where he was representing the left. Dean Wetters has been kicked by his brother out of his home. So I don't know how that works. Was it the home of their parents or was it the home owned by his brother? In any case, he was living with his brother and his brother just kicked him on the street. And look at the reason.
In live, walk out. Brother's like, get the hell out. Get all of your shit and dip. He ended up kicking me out because he's alt-right Christian conservative. I'm liberal content creator. He called me the Antichrist. He called me an agent of chaos. Dehumanizing as fuck. He said the same shit to me that all those crazy Republican nutbags say in my comment section, say on my live. He even brought up how he thinks that me, Harry, Chris Parker, won Trump the election. It was relationship ending. I never, ever, ever won a relationship with that man again. It was absolutely unreal. I cannot believe that my biological brother that I grew up with would ever do that. It's unfucking unreal.
Well, you know, I think it's time for you to fly by your own wings, but it's so funny as a reason. Sorry, I have to kick you out. You're the Antichrist. Kind of a good reason, you know. You wouldn't want to be stuck living with the Antichrist for too long, so he got rid of him. There is a meme running around representing the whole Elon Musk debacle. Best and brightest, be honest. High skilled labor, be honest. Cheap labor, thank you. They did make this progression. Best and brightest was during the election. It's a, we're only the top. I mean, we're gonna have an aristocratic import of just the top of the top, the cream of the crop. And then after the, after Trump had won the election, it became high skilled labor. And people are exposing that high-skilled labor basically mean the slaves that are doing stuff for California, big tech, the Indian slaves that are doing this, and even down to janitors. And then it becomes clear that it's really cheap labor, and it's really you are bringing in Indians who have no choice but to serve the corporation and to do only that. They are isolated. They probably don't have much family around them. So basically their entire life is to enter the US, they have to give many years of work where they serve that corporation and nothing else. HHH White Pill says, myself, JF, Mikey Nuck, and all of the intelligent people told you not to vote for Trump. People should listen to their intellectual betters. I mean, you get what you deserve. You know, I can take someone who comes to me and says, well, JF, I voted for the best choice and it was Trump. Okay. But we're pushing the can down the road, the can where we're going to have at some point to decide what we do about white people in America, what we do with ourselves. Absolutely scandalous actions from Elon, who is visibly pissed. And he's banning Groiper-related accounts, Nick Fuentes-related accounts. Project Groip suspended from X after criticizing Elon Musk's support for expanding H-1B visas and legal immigration. Project Groip was one of the rare entities that had a golden checkmark. Golden checkmarks cost a lot. This was a fan of Nick Fuentes, or maybe Nick Fuentes himself through some proxy, I don't know. But you can't have these golden check marks without paying many thousands of dollars per month. And Project Group, this young, just starting X account, has been slashed by Elon Musk because they went in a campaign to bring attention to the H-1B Indian visa problem. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, a perplexing part of your exploits. How did you manage to buy slash sell your houses in so short notice, in such a short amount of time, all whilst on the run? Doing this requires multiple arduous meetings, transfers, etc. This would be useful info for us still in communist areas when shit hits the fan. Bro, I did this and it's more complicated than you just said, okay? Because I'm in a special situation. I'm a widower, okay? I'm a widower with, you know, property from Mama JF. I have to speak in her name sometimes. So it is so much more complicated. You have no idea the miracle that I've accomplished there. And I've done so with a family. I've done so with a family, and I've done so with selling without even knowing where I was going, without even knowing. Well, I say widower. I'm not saying Mama JF is necessarily dead, but effectively, I'm a widower. She's dead to me. I mean, she's gone. And so, so yes, technically, I'm a widower. And so, selling a house at one end of Canada, not knowing even where I was headed. And then traveling, living in hotels, and then coming in and sieging the house that I want to buy. And this came, and I'm going to tell you the story. So, we were hiding in ski resorts. And we were skiing, me and my girlfriend and my family. And, you know, my girlfriend was like, she's not a boomer. She's not a woman of skiing, you know. And she was like, Jeff, there's only so much skiing I can enjoy. I was like, wait, give me 2 or 3 days. I need to think. We were skiing, because I had determined that ski mountains are the most protected place against social workers. I've never seen a social worker in a ski resort. I was like, keep skiing, woman. And eventually on one of these ski mountains, the real estate fairy just shows up. She was flying. She was looking like one of these K-pop singer women, you know, these young girls. She drops a little piece of paper on the floor in front of me. And the piece of paper says, you need urgent, aggressive legal representation. Call Doe and Urgenstein. Do it now. It's Urgenstein. And I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what I need. Aggressive legal representation. And I'm like, how am I going to sell a house and buy another one, given that some of the assets are not even in my name, and I'm fleeing from the state, and I can't reveal to the state where I am? So we're at the hotel, and I call, and there's this legal assistant woman answering to me. I'm like, listen, woman, I want to talk to either Doe or Urgenstein. You give me one of your best 2 top lawyers. I want to talk to them right now. I don't care how much it costs. Any sort of talking with you or with any legal assistant that you might pass me to will be a loss of our time. You guys do not understand the complexity of my legal position. You suck. I want to speak to a lawyer that knows his common law. And she's like, okay, one moment. She comes back to the phone, and I was thinking, maybe she's going to bring Urgenstein, or maybe she's going to bring Mr. Doe. And she's like, sorry, Mr. Doe and Mr. Urgenstein are not available right now. They are working. Although I can pass you to our legal assistant, Vanessa, and she will be able to answer all of your questions. I say, I really doubt this. Go ahead, give me Vanessa. So Vanessa answers, and she's like, so, sir, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to do A, and then I want to do B. And I'm not going to reveal to you guys exactly what I asked her, but, and then I want to do C. And she's like, she's like, sir, that would be criminal in so many ways. We couldn't possibly do this. Normally, people in your situation will do D instead. And I was like, I'm not a normal person. I am telling you that I can legally do A, B, and C. There is no reason why I couldn't do this. And it's legal. It wouldn't be a crime to do this. She's like, no, sir, that is impossible. Look. I'm going to go ask a lawyer, and he's going to explain to you how wrong you are. But that is not how it works, sir. We would be criminally guilty if we were to help you do this transaction. And I was like, okay, go ask your lawyer. You're wrong. I told her, you're wrong. And she took it so bad. She was like, sir, I'm going to come back to you with a lawyer. And so she goes, and she comes back. I thought, at this point, I'm going to speak with Mr. Urgenstein. At this point, I made my case. This woman is denied. And I was like, holy shit, I'm homeless, and this fucking woman is trying to cock block me. So she comes back. Not even Mr. Doe, not even Mr. Urgenstein. she comes back and she says, okay, sir, there is maybe, according to our lawyer, there is maybe a way in which what you say is correct. And I was like, you see, bitch, you try to cock block me? I know my common law. We can do A, B, C absolutely legally. I'm entitled. This is my right. And she's like, Mr. Doe would like to talk to you tomorrow morning. Can you come tomorrow morning at the office, 10 a.m.? I checked the map and everything. Holy shit, I'm hours away from his lawyer office, but I'm like, I'm going to drive throughout the night, and yes, I'm going to get there. I want to see Mr. Doe. So I arrive at the lawyer office, and this whole thing gave me such respect for lawyers. I generally hate lawyers, but this one was very good. So I look at the office, and it's like Tin Cheng Doe, master of the law, blah, blah, blah. So I enter the office, and she puts me in a conference room. It was this girl that I spoke to on the phone. And she's like, Mr. Tin Cheng Doe is arriving. And she opens the door. I look at the door, and I see nothing. And I'm like, holy shit, is he small or something? And suddenly he pops in the door, and he's like, ha ha, Jeff! And I was like, holy shit. I was like, sir, I'm currently being pursued by the state. It's not the right time to surprise me. This guy shows up jumping in the fucking door. Tin Cheng Doe. Holy shit. The guy is a North Korean style, South Korean. He's a Korean guy, but he's built like a super muscled David Duke, like super jawline, and his muscles are popping out of his fucking shirt. And so he's like, he sits down in front of me, places his paper and stuff. And he's like, you know what's my problem with, Korea, Jeff? And I was like, I don't know. What is it? He's like, there's too many white people in Korea. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Too many white people in Korea. That is exactly what I've been trying to say this whole fucking time. Korea should be populated by Koreans. And so I'm like, okay, Mr. Doe, let's go back to seriousness here. I want to do A, B, C. He says, Jeff, we're going to have to use old farmer's law. And I was like, yeah, farmer's law. I'm relatively aware. I know some of the legal principles underlying everything. And then he's saying old farmer's law. Okay, we're going to have to use a old farmer's law. He says, yes, Jeff. You see, when woman takes care of the cattle, just brushes the cattle, she gets a little bit of the ground beef. When woman goes dancing in the field, leaves the home, goes do some fucked up things in the field, she gets no ground beef at all. And I'm like, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. No ground beef for the woman who goes to dance in the field. Of course, this is the kind of legal creative work that I pay for. This is what I'm talking about. And so I'm like, so you're telling me that you're going to be able to do transactions A, B, and C? And he's like, I need to ask you one thing, Jeff. And he looks at me with his Korean eyes. Do you kill Mama Jeff? And I was like, well, sir, this is an extremely important question, and I thank you for asking. Because in my predicament, as you may know, people just do not ask me if I killed Mama JF. People are simply assuming that I killed Mama JF. And so it is very heartwarming to have the first person in these 2 years of my life to ever ask me the question. And no, I did not kill Mama JF. And he's like, okay, then we're going to do your transaction. And I'm like, well, Mr. Do, wait a minute here. Team Chang. Your woman right here. I spoke to her on the phone yesterday. She told me there would be millions of ways in which these transactions will be criminal if I was to do them. What changed here? He says, don't worry about her. She assumed that you had killed Mama JF. And I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck, Mr. Doe? Are you telling me? And I look at this girl and I'm, you gave me legal counseling assuming that I must be the murderer of Mama JF? She was like, whatever, bro. If you say so, if you say you didn't kill her, you didn't kill her. It's whatever you say here, sweetheart. And I was like, unbelievable. I am in a lawyer's office and they're assuming guilt on me. And so I said, Mr. Doe, you have to check this woman. She's providing false information to people calling. And Mr. Doe was like, shut up, bitch. Shut up. Shut up. This customer is different. Most people kill their wife. This customer did not kill Mama JF. Mama JF just went camping. Just Mama JF really, really likes camping. Mama JF likes camping to a point that's even bad for herself. And I was like, exactly, exactly. This is what I've been saying. So, yeah, ultimately, your super chat was asking the question. Your super chat was asking the question, how did I do this? Man, I had to fight real estate agents. I had to fight people who were saying, oh, no, we're not doing this. Until I got my rights protected by a pair of two very competent lawyers. One at the selling point, one at the buying point. Those were the only lawyers willing to do business with me. All of the others were not there. And it's even the woman of this law office was first telling me, no, you can't. But no, I can. So fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. I know common law, you fuckers. Ty Rogerson says, this sounds more exciting and difficult than the Eddie Tarod. It was a crazy trip, my friend. It's not easy to be living in hotels, but I made it happen within 3 weeks. Within 3 weeks, sell, empty, move, buy, confirm the buy, and ultimately it's down to competent liars who were really willing to hear a complex story, not just one where, oh, I can just buy a house. No, it's like there's bank accounts and there's definancialization and there's money coming in being blocked by the bank. And it's like, no, it's not my fault. And yes, I have the right to that money. It was that difficult. But this meeting with Tin Cheng Do, the great lawyer, the great Korean lawyer, made me realize that I had attained a place. Because he was in the province where I was moving to, I had attained male Asian civilization. Tin Cheng Do with his large muscles, his jawline. It's like my ancestors traveled from Europe to the eastern coast of America, only to eventually have communism fuck up my life on the eastern coast of America. So I continued traveling to the west, just like my ancestors have done. And what I found is a province in which that has met with Asian civilization. So there was one male running away from the communists of the East. And Tin Cheng Do, I don't know what's his story, how he got from Korea to Canada. But he traveled in the opposite direction. And it was the meeting of two males, ultimately, that allowed these transactions. Bernard says, do you think BTC will keep increasing or is it a bubble? It will keep increasing at some point, but I've personally sold my Bitcoin. I'm waiting for lower prices because I think that for now it's in a low moment, but I might rebuy. Depends on the prices we see. So yes, the purge by Elon Musk was very savage. Classic Groups, Kesser Rev, Dalton C, Book Club Hamiltonialist, all Groiper related accounts. And Elon Musk is trying to make it that, oh, those are just legitimate enforcements because they have been accused of spamming. And he's trying to make the case that trying to encourage others to use the block feature or others to reply to some tweet is artificial engagement. I guess that is a reasoning, but a lot of people have lost their blue check mark. And ultimately, Elon is defending one of his ex-employees who's literally an anti-white racist. So here he was, someone was saying to him, one of your engineers is a racist. And Elon Musk says he is a troll, but went a little over the top in the past few days. Well, look, this is someone who's employed at X. If your race is so great, why am I outcompeting you on every axis that actually matters? Seems like you are the one who is dysgenic. Thankfully, evolution will take care of you in due time. Good luck to you and your children, if you are capable of having any. You see, they really know what they are. They are a people that specializes in exploiting other society and making lots of babies. And they laugh at us for making less babies. It's like, do you realize that this is a race to the bottom? Do you realize that if everyone makes the most babies they can, if everyone has 12 children per family, we will end up with India in America. He says that he outcompetes whites on every axis that actually matters. Here's an axis where you certainly don't outcompete white. Creating desirable societies. Boom. It's like, isn't that a big one? You cannot create desirable society. Or maybe you can compute logs in your head. Maybe you can slave to programming work for 16 hours a day and only do sleep and then work. But you can't build a desirable society to live in. That is a big issue. Laughing my ass off, shut the fuck up, white boy. What have you built? What have you invented? What has your father built? And his father before that? We will be lucky to even get one child out of you. Do better. Such ridiculous attacks. What have we invented? We've invented the societies where that are so desirable that you moved into them. Period. I shouldn't have to make any more of a case than this. Here you are, exploiting what we have created and mocking it in the process, which provides us with insight about why people like you cannot build desirable society. It's because there you are, crashing the end that feeds you. Racist whites will do anything to save their white race, except getting a job and having children. If you are getting replaced, it's because you are incapable of successfully playing your part. No, if we are getting replaced, it's because we are faced with unfair competition. Any country in the world controls its borders. We don't, and therefore we are faced with an infinite flow of people who specialize in creating stupid babies. And from there, they don't have to spend as much parental time, they don't have to spend as much care for these babies because there's more of them. And there you go. You have the loop of reinforcement that leads a nation to be fully populated by retards. Elon Musk himself was going way too harsh on white Americans. This is Elon Musk approving a tweet that says white Americans are retarded and incapable of working for his tech companies. Elon is losing it. I mean, and see, he deleted the tweet. This page doesn't exist. Elon Musk was citing another tweet that was saying, basically what happened in this whole debate on immigration on X in the last few days, basically is white people want jobs, but white people are too retarded. Of course, he didn't call them white people. He said Americans. But we know what he's talking about. He was talking about white Americans. But he says, Americans want jobs. Americans are too retarded. We invite other people to work in their stead, and they complain about us inviting other people. And Elon said, yeah, basically, this is what happened. No, it's first, white people can absolutely work for big tech. It may not be desirable. You may have to pay them more because white people have choice because they have talent and they don't have to slave away at a specific corporation. They can negotiate. They have the choice of, hey, am I going to go to California and get my kids trained by the public school? Or am I going to go to a Republican state and maybe work for a little less money, but life will be cheaper and easier to live there? So white people have choice. This is what ultimately the big tech oligarchs take issue with. And this is why they need to flood the nation with a competitive force that is simply not fair. Because the Indian doesn't have choice. He doesn't have choice to go to a Republican state. He has to stay employed at the company that brought him into the U.S. So they create this very isolated bubble situation with employment where you have no choice but to satisfy this company or you're out. Or you're out. Big Brain the Ape says, Jeff, I actually believe that this idea of there being a strong genetic basis to racial loyalty is incorrect. I believe what we observe is a genetic impulse to social loyalty. We are pack animals, not hive organisms. Due to our individualized reproductive strategy, there is no strong in race preference. Strong in race preference. Well, first, I have not said that there is a strong genetic basis for racial loyalty. I've never used these words, so I don't know where you take this. But you've imagined this in your head. Secondly, is there an in-race preference? Oh, yes, there is. There is, even in the world that is supposed to be anti-racist and liberal, there is massive racial preference in dating, let me tell you. Blacks date mostly blacks, whites date mostly whites, and Asian date mostly Asians. And Elon Musk is absolutely deluded in his framing of the debate. He says, this is the right position for those who want America to win. For those who want America to lose for their own personal gain, I have no respect. Zero. And he was saying in 2023, we should greatly increase legal immigration of anyone who's hardworking, honest, and loves America. Every such person is an asset to the country. But massive illegal immigration of people we know nothing about is insane. What I answered to this is the delusion that a bunch of government employees and overfunded companies will be able to objectively identify the honest, hardworking immigrants. It is absolutely insane. First, I find it insane to be giving the power of selection of new employment to these HR ladies. But you know what's even more insane? It's giving them power to determine the demographic direction of the U.S. You know, I think that there's an abuse of their power when they select employees. There is certainly an abuse of their power when they select citizens. And basically, that is what Elon believes. He believes that the government is very bad at doing so many things. You see, the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. He knows that the government is getting parasitized. He knows that the government isn't efficient at what it's doing. But suddenly he has a suspension, he has a suspension of belief, and suddenly the government is perfectly fine to be selecting good people. When you select people, the government isn't able to fully research their life, wouldn't know if they've committed crime for which they haven't been caught. The government is very bad at everything it does, including selecting migrants. That is the Occam's razor hypothesis. If you think that the government or even big tech corporations are suddenly extremely good at doing something, I want to know on what basis you have this belief, Elon. Andrew Tate goes straight to the heart of the matter much more honestly. He says, white people have nowhere left that's theirs. Nowhere. They don't care about money. They want a home. And all of their homes are being stolen in real time. There isn't a single one left on the planet where this isn't currently happening. That's the problem. So yeah, Elon's saying that's how we win. If your win is to enrich tech oligarchs, then I guess yes, that's how we win. If your win is to have some measure of success of your nation as having technological prowess or controlling shares of the market, then okay, maybe that's a win. But those are wins that you can't celebrate if you don't exist anymore. So your first win always must be the protection of yourself, the protection of your nation, and the protection of your people. There is nothing worth winning if you don't exist at the moment of celebration. And Andrew Tate understands it. I'm willing to forego a lot of economic success. You can chop the GDP of my country in half if you want. If it means to me having a family, having a place to stay, having a home, having a world that is not flooded by competition, then that is good to me. Big Brain Ape says, this is what signals your belonging to the wolf pack. He says, there is a correlation between the mimetic structures and the genetic capacity of individual members of a particular racial group to adopt those mimetic structures, but the loyalty is simply to those who successfully acquire the memes. Oh, well, Big Brain Ape, I dunked on you yesterday. I don't know if I still want to dunk on you, but certainly what you say there is assuming so much that it's basically worthless for me to engage in this conversation. You assume so much. You define terms, loyalty, mimetics, and you are stuck in over-defining here. You are stuck in an ideological world you've created that is very far from any science and any empiricism. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, maybe you should always preface the things you say are statistical probabilities, such as blacks marry blacks. Is as true as saying men are taller than women. You will always have one woman who doesn't understand statistics and says, but my female friend is taller than all the men around her. Yeah, but typically I have some phrasing. Like I said, most black people date black people. So the most indicates a probabilistic statement here. And there was a guy saying, are people really dumb enough to think they can convince Elon Musk, an immigrant to the United States who has generated untold wealth and national security advantage for our economy and nation out of thin air, that high-skilled immigration is bad for Americans? And Elon Musk says, my tolerance for subtards is limited. What's this new thing? Subtards. It's white people? White people are subtards, according to Elon Musk? Is it because he didn't want to say retard? But then subtard is even worse than retard. It's like below the retard. Look, Elon Musk is losing it. And the thing is, the individual success of Elon Musk is not a reproducible story. There could have been other people than Elon Musk at the head of these developments. And I'm sure we would have something like PayPal even without Elon Musk, because eventually someone else does it. So there's no one who's truly uniquely necessary to the advancement of human civilization. at best, you can argue that they have speeded it up. They have sped it up. But Elon Musk doesn't have a mechanism to ensure that the immigrants he brings in now are of the quality of himself. It's as simple as this. You do not have an efficient mechanism of ensuring quality of your imports. And you do not have a way to compute the long-term cost on the demographics and on the social sustainability of U.S. politics. Period. It's so self-contradictory that it's a mathematical and philosophical certainty that there is self-contradiction in Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk is bringing in people who will not vote Republicans. And Elon Musk claims to be doing so from a Republican right-wing standpoint. In fact, Elon Musk, who joined the Republican Party just 6 months ago, is now saying that we should be kicked out of the Republican Party. And I say we. He didn't talk about me specifically, but he's saying that the race-conscious people of X, we must start excluding them from the Republican Party. So the Nick Fuentes, the Groypers of this world. Unbelievable. Elon Musk, you were a Democrat 6 months ago. You weren't there for 2016 with Trump. You weren't cheering for the Republican Party in 2020. You are a newly born Republican, and you already are talking about kicking people who were there before you. Raised Fist sends $40. Thank you so much for this massive and generous donation. He says, if one day you are found guilty of first-degree murder, I want a refund. I'll forgive involuntary manslaughter. Well, I will not be accused of anything, because let me tell you, I have ensured that there was plenty of evidence that me and Mama JF, we truly separated in good terms, and she left, and I made sure that I left her in a safe place. So I am absolutely certain that there won't even be a claim of involuntary manslaughter, because the fact is Mama JF has been observed 2 days after I dropped her, and she was still alive and doing good and doing what she usually does, which is traveling around like a hippie. So it's like, from there, I couldn't protect her. Once she leaves me and goes out there, I can't protect her in a trip. But no, I'm not going to be found guilty of anything. So I'm keeping your $40, keeping that in the JF Innocence Fund. 9mmsmg, a very big Twitter X account, says my checkmark was just removed. A lot of people have lost their subscription, their checkmarks. Laura Loomer, 9mm, Roz Alert, Gavin Mario Wax, Owen Schreier, Laura Loomer, losing their blue checkmarks. And this seems to be a punishment by Elon Musk for arguing against immigration, against legal immigration. We are back to the basic censorship X that we knew. And we're not even back there because Elon was forced by the App Store or the Apple Store or whatever. We're there because Elon is a little baby. Elon is being a child right now. Project Mayhem sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, did you see Vivek's tweet about how America has a culture of mediocrity coming from a man whose culture includes Bashabazi, inbreeding, street defecation, and massive industries of scamming? I guess this is excellence E and Elon have planned for us. Yeah, so Vivek, you know, mediocrity. Vivek has been pump and dumping a stock market unit for the discovery of a dementia or Alzheimer medication, some medication for something. Don't quote me on it, but it's some medication that turned out not to work at all, and then the stock market crashed. So if you want to talk about mediocrity, Vivek, you have scammed a bunch of investors by pump and dumping before crypto even existed. That's your story of mediocrity. Now, I've actually answered to the Vivek tweet at the beginning of the show because someone was bringing up what he says. And no, I reject. I reject the idea that Americans are too obsessed with footballs and not enough with computer programming or being on customer service, phone service all day. That is an absolutely diminishing view of the American people. As I pointed out at the beginning of the show, part of the American culture is to have to make into heroes the more beautiful man, the most beautiful woman, so the man through football and athletic performance and his muscles, and he's the big Chad quarterback of the high school, and then the most beautiful woman through cheerleaders and generally crowning her the queen at the ball or whatever. This is part of how white people function. And it is absolutely ridiculous to say you should do more like the Indians and be more like a slave willing to work 16 hours a day at your call center. That is basically, it's trying to remove white uniqueness and replace it with white slavery. That is what Vivek is trying to do here. I say, fuck Vivek. White civilization is a pleasant place to be because we have these social mechanisms of respect, etiquette, social hierarchy, meritocracy, and all of this takes time. All of this takes a relatively relaxed nation. You can't have these stories. You can't have the courtship mechanisms that we have. We can't have the fairness perception that we have in the way we engage with politics if you're working 16 hours a day as a slave in a call center. So if you want to transform America into the third world, Vivek, I recommend you just go back to India, because there's a third world out there waiting for you. Naberius says, what you're describing is civic nationalism, big brain ape. It's an ineffective meme. Has been losing in the free market of ideas for decades. Okay, so people are now handling Big Brain Ape. Isabella Moody also. The X team just put my verification under review after calling the new algorithm shadow banning. So we have a pissed off Elon. And here, Laura Loomer saying, Elon has just canceled all of my subscription and sent an email. Sent a message to all of my subscribers saying Laura Loomer deactivated her subscriptions as a way to demonetize me. That's a lie. I didn't do it. Why would I cancel my own subscription? So really, we have punishment for free speech here. Punishment for free speech. We're back to the Jack Dorsey days. This shit never ends. Layers upon layers of attacks against whites, layers upon layers of censorship, layers upon layers of rug pulling. The world is dark. What we thought could be a savior, what we thought could be someone who's awakened to the racial reality of the U.S., is someone who ultimately doesn't care about it. And so dark day today, but thankfully there is a pushback that is still exist. Now, will Elon be able to ban all of the accounts? And are we back to Gab? I don't know where we will be in 2 weeks, a month from now. But it's looking bad. It's looking like Elon has gone into this mode of dehumanizing his opposition, of not accepting their argument, of saying, you guys need to be eliminated from the Republican Party. By which right do you consider yourself a legitimate controller of the gatekeeping of who makes it into the Republican Party? Bernard says, are you worried about the collapse of civilization, JF, as I am? I'm not worried because I know it will happen. So I've learned to stop worrying and love the bomb.